time for our Thursday morning conversation. And with me this morning, as promised, author Pamela Fullerton is here with us this morning. Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning. It's so good to be here again.
Now, when was the last time you were here, Pamela? I know you look familiar, but when was the last time you were here?
Last time I was here was for the publication of my latest book, Red Road Redemption. This time here because of I'm co-producer of an upcoming documentary.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. First of all, from writing a book to being a co-producer of something that you're going to see visually besides just the words on the printed page, tell us about the documentary, and then we'll get into some of the background about it.
The documentary is in honor of Captain Scott R. Alwyn, who was one of the greatest military pilots in history and one of the greatest helicopter pilots and most awarded helicopter pilots of the Vietnam War. He was a preacher's kid. In fact, he is my slightly older brother.
Oh, okay.
And he was a pilot in Vietnam from 1967 to 1972. And in point of fact, he was basically a pacifist when he went there and wanted to fly rescue missions, but he ended up as a gunship pilot and fell in love with not just the people and the country, but with our cause and the cause of promoting democracy in the world. Scott, unfortunately, was killed just as the war was ending by a drunk driver.
Hmm. To do one of the most dangerous jobs in all of warfare and then just to come home and be killed by a drunk driver just doesn't seem like he received the proper justice.
It was a great tragedy, and quite frankly, it almost destroyed my parents, who probably had rather unwisely put most of their hopes for the future in his rather capable hands. In addition to that, the day he was killed, he was on his way to Washington, D.C. for interviews at the new War College there, and also with Senator Proxmire, who had contacted him about the possibility of running for Congress.
Hmm. And he probably would have got elected with the resume that he had and the background, and of course his character. The one thing that I'm learning about your brother, first of all, this was a man of very high character. What was it like growing up, 16 kids in the family, the preacher's kids? I went to parochial school. I know a lot of preacher's kids, and sometimes they get their reputation sometimes isn't what you would think it would be. But 16 kids, the preacher's kids in Marathon County growing up, correct?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what was that like back then? What was it like to have that big a family and the preacher's kids?
Well, it was kind of interesting because, of course, basically what happened was that my dad had a rather big church in Milwaukee, and he left that saying that the city was no place to raise that many kids. And when he went to the country, he took three very small, very poor rural churches. And what they did was they stuck us in whatever abandoned farmhouse was available that would hold that many people. But we worked as kids. We worked at everything from the migrant fields alongside the Mexican who were picking cucumbers or strawberries for 2 cents a pint. But I remember vividly one day being very happy when one of the migrant workers kind of surreptitiously said, you got to put a few rocks in the bag to make it weigh a little more so that you get paid more at the end of the day. But we worked very hard. We grew up on theology and philosophy, and I vividly remember my father teaching us, come home with your shield or on it, and the prayer every night was, help me grow up to be a big, strong, honest person who loves and cares about other people. And we knew that we had a duty to serve. And Scott was so bright that he got a commission to the Air Force Academy. He got a nomination to the Air Force Academy. But he was also kind of one of those stubborn, independent people who wrote home and said, you know, they gave me demerits for coming out of the shower with water on my back. He said, I have no idea how that relates to creating great pilots or good leaders. And so when he was done with his active duty for the Air Force, he came back to Wisconsin and went back to the university. But the war was heating up by then. Mm-hmm. And so he went to the Army and said, hey, if you make me a pilot, I'll join you guys. And they did. They turned him into a helicopter pilot.
Just curious, the thing that's sticking with me is the fact that he got a demerit for having water on his back, and attention to detail may have been the moral of that story and the lesson that was supposed to be taught.
It might have been.
Okay.
But for Scott, I think the lessons that should have been taught were a little bigger than that. They were about leadership and caring for your fellow soldiers and the mission, basically.
As kids growing up in Marathon County, did your brother and you or other siblings have talks about, this is what I want to be when I grow up? Was any of this that he accomplished in any of those wishes as a kid?
Well, what he wanted to be when he grew up was some sort of a leader and of service to his community. So I think perhaps a leadership position in the military was probably just as good a choice as anything else, because otherwise he would have been a politician or perhaps a doctor or something like that, maybe a teacher, a superintendent of schools. But he always was going to be a leader. There was no doubt about that.
What was it like for the rest of your family? Was it just Scott that was in the service during Vietnam, or did you have other siblings there too?
We didn't have other siblings who were in the service, but we have had a string of other siblings who have been in the service. One of Scott's brothers was an Army physician for many, many years and ended up working for the VA because, once again, he decided that rather than go into private practice, the VA needed really, really good doctors, so he stayed.
I know what it's like to be in a family that has a person serving overseas. I know what that's like. And you watch the news every night and you wonder, he was not there. He was in Afghanistan. It wasn't the height of
all
Vietnam.
The... No, it was Vietnam.
No, I'm talking about my family.
Oh,
so I'm just trying to relate here what it's like to have a family member who is serving overseas. My wife's second son is a Marine, and he was in Afghanistan. And we watched the news differently every night while he was over there. And when he came back, it's a sigh of relief. I can't imagine what it would be like, though, even though he was in some situations that were like war, not like the Vietnam War like Scott was in. So as a family, how did y'all cope back here at home, knowing what was going on over there and the dangerous job that he had?
Yeah, we had somebody who was a Marine in Afghanistan, too, but it was kind of a different feeling.
Yeah,
the war that Scott was in was removed, except for the visuals that you had on TV every night, and of course the conflict at home between the people who wanted us out of that war. And I was in college at the time, and so the big demonstrations and the arguments you would get into trying to defend what was going on. And the interesting thing that people don't know about Vietnam is that 70% of all the soldiers who were in World War II, which they call the Great Generation, were actually drafted, while 70% of all the young men and women who were in Vietnam volunteered for that war. I mean, there really was a feeling that we kind of had to stop communism and that we had to defend democracy, at least in South Vietnam.
I grew up in Appleton and the home of Lawrence University. I remember as a little boy seeing protests when we would have to go downtown. I remember seeing the signs on the side, the big mural that said, bring back Fred Flom, one of our own who was held captive over there as a prisoner. I remember when he came back. I remember when the cannons went off at the armory with the day the Vietnam War ended.
Right.
So I have some of those memories, but I was so small I didn't understand the greater social impact that was having across the country. Since I've grown up, one thing that really gets me, and I hope the people that need to ask for forgiveness have asking for forgiveness, but the way these guys were treated when they came home, no excuse for it. We've learned a lesson as a country. I think we do it much better. But gosh, when those guys came home,
it was horrifying.
It was horrifying.
It really was.
Yeah, it really
and
is.
And it was, I mean, that they were so reviled, and the things that they were called, they were spit on in airports. They were all told not to wear their uniforms home. They were told to change into civvies. But, of course, if you had an Air Force or an Army haircut, you were still picked out, and everybody knew who you were. And even though they tried to buddy up when they were on their way home, most of them came home all by themselves, and they went from fight or flight in wartime Vietnam to being reviled when they got home or castigated or having people disrespect them. It really was a traumatic time for many, many of our veterans.
So coming home should be a relief. Instead, coming home for Vietnam-era veterans was like PTSD all over again, what they experienced
absolutely.
While they were there, and then
absolutely.
They got it again when they came
right.
home. And we're smarter now as a country, I think, and as a society, and we look at those guys much differently, and the women that serve, we look at them differently these days. So I guess we've we've learned a lesson there.
I certainly hope so.
Yes. Let's talk about the documentary itself. What can people expect to see on the film, on screen?
This is absolutely an amazing documentary. What we did was put together 250 transcribed pages of interviews with all of the young men with whom that we could locate, with whom Scott flew in Vietnam, and with and who were his crew chiefs and gunners. And we have Scott's letters, excerpts from Scott's letters. He was a very literate writer. And we have interviews with people who knew him. For example, a man by the name of David Keene, who was a political writer. They were absolutely at odds in terms of their political beliefs, but they were great friends because they were both men of honor.
Wait a second. You can have friends that don't think politically like you do? Really?
David Keene was a conservative. He was leader of the conservatives at the university at the time, and later became a speechwriter for Nixon, for Agnew, for all those guys. And he was president of the NRA, and yet he and Scott were absolutely the best of friends.
Wow. So I'm glad that those examples actually exist and we can learn some more lessons. So as the documentary unfolds, there's going to be a little background. How much of the documentary is actually focused on the one of the things that impresses me most out of all these notes here are all the different awards that he won. He was a very highly decorated guy. Are there stories behind all those medals in the documentary as well?
Absolutely, there are stories behind them, and we share some of those. And not only do we share some, but some of the other pilots with and co-pilots, gunners with whom he flew share them. And it is quite amazing to hear their interpretations of why Scott behaved the way he did, why he got the medals he got, what did the nominations for the Congressional Medal of Honor were for, and things like that. It's a fascinating documentary, but I do want to emphasize that it doesn't just honor Scott. It honors all of those Vietnam-era veterans with whom he flew and who were there at the time.
Silver and Bronze Stars, Distinguished Flying Crosses, Cross of Gallantry, Purple Hearts. He was nominated twice for the Congressional Medal of Honor. I'm curious, why did that nomination never come to fruition and he didn't receive that honor?
Well, we're not really sure why they weren't, because he was nominated, of course, by his own commanders, and then it goes up the chain of command, and so you never knew. One guy snidely told us that Scott was in competition with the general's son for air medals, so, you know, maybe there was some politics there. But one of the things that Scott is renowned for is having won more combat air medals than any aviator in history.
Wow.
From any branch of the service. We have actual orders showing the award of 136 of them. His battalion records say over 207. Either is the record for any pilot from any branch of the service. And in Vietnam, you got one combat air medal for every 25 hours of actual flight time. And, of course, the casualty rate for pilots and crews was 30 seconds in combat.
Wow. Oh, boy, that really... I've never been aware of that number. He also invented the auto rotational maneuver for engine and tail rotor failure. It's standard crisis protocol to this day and still saving lives.
Right. In other words, before Scott invented that maneuver, if something happened to your tail rotor or your engine, you simply dropped out of the sky like a stone. And what he figured out was that if you did what was absolutely counterintuitive, in other words, instead of trying to get your helicopter engine on or trying to keep it flying using the engine, if you disengaged everything, the rotors would start to turn simply because of air pressure, just like a little maple thing falling out of the sky.
Right.
And it's not an easy landing, that's for sure. And what they did was they practiced on how to be moving forward and then flaring the aircraft so you could slow it down and then move forward and slow it down and then move forward.
My next question is, why hasn't there been a huge, big budget Hollywood movie been made about his life before, and especially these experiences? Why are we just finding about this now?
Nobody knew about him. When Scott was killed, just as the war was ending, by that suicidal drunk driver who told his wife he was going to go out and kill somebody and take somebody else with him. I mean, Scott was buried, and really that was the end of it. It wasn't until we started to go to the reunions of the 68th Assault Helicopter Company, with whom he spent most of his time over there, that we began to realize that these guys thought of him as a legend, as a real hero. And I began to do some investigations, and one of the things we had problems with was that we couldn't find adequate records. We couldn't find good records. So we began to piece things together, and as we did, the full picture began to emerge. But still, no one really was doing anything for Vietnam soldiers until one day I was on a writer's panel, and someone in the back of the room asked, well, why should we listen to Wisconsin stories? And I kept waiting for somebody else to answer the question. And when they didn't, I said, listen, I said, Wisconsin stories are like every other story. They are loss and love, triumph and tragedy, growth and change. I said, our stories are universal stories. And here's a story that should be told. And I told him Scott's story. And I said, and he's buried out in a little windswept cemetery right next to a tiny red brick country church. I said, there's a story that deserves to be told. And from down the panel, I heard a voice say, or have a documentary made of it. Hmm. And it was Susan Reitz, the award-winning documentarian. And she came up to me afterwards and she said, we've got to make a documentary of that.
How long ago was that?
We started it in 2020, just as COVID was starting.
Oh, boy. So that kind of put a monkey wrench in the works.
Oh, it sure did.
But the time is here now. So the movie is going to be shown at the Marathon County Public Library on Saturday. What time can people start to watch?
It is at 1 o'clock, and there will be a question and answer period. And we really want, it's open to the public, and especially we want veterans, especially Vietnam-era veterans, to come and enjoy this look into their honorable behavior and their gallantry.
The timing is perfect for your visit here, being National Vietnam Veterans Day tomorrow. The documentary will premiere on Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Marathon County Public Library. There will be Q&A afterwards. Probably some refreshments, stuff like that will be in there too. This is a story that needed to be told a long time ago. I'm glad it's going to be told now. And I tool around in northern Marathon County an awful lot. I'm going to purposely look for his stone. I think I have a good idea where he is, and so I'm gonna make a point to stop there. You brought a picture of him in here today. Boy, a true hero, and your family pride. You just must be busting with pride to tell this story.
Well, we certainly are, and we think it's about time.
Yeah, amen to that. Amen to that. So that's a good way to part here this morning. Saturday at 1 o'clock, Marathon County Public Library. What's the documentary called?
Honor in the Air.
Honor in the Air, indeed. And so if you're a Vietnam era veteran, please take the time. And if people can't get there on Saturday, will this movie be available streaming or on tape or some other form?
Currently, it is with Wisconsin PBS for review. We believe they are going to show it.
Wisconsin, yes. And my goodness, then I can't wait to watch it on PBS. Maybe right after Antiques Roadshow on a Monday night. That'd be perfect timing. Perfect timing.
It certainly would.
Pamela, thank you very much for being here this morning.
My pleasure.
To know the background on your family and your brother here is amazing. I feel blessed that we had a chance to talk here today, and I'm going to seek this out as well, and I hope the place is packed on Saturday.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Pamela Fullerton, our guest here this morning. And again, if you want to see this documentary, either wait till it gets on to PBS. It'll get there eventually. I feel it in my bones. At the library in Marathon County in Wausau there, 1 o'clock, and Q&A will follow.